Hey everyone, and welcome to a first for Scouting the League, our first bonus scouting episode. We will have a few more like this in the coming weeks where we will dive into some specific topics, hopefully give you a little more unique insight into some different things. Today, we will talk about a league that dates back all the way to 1958, but has roots back into the 1860s. The Grey Cup is the ultimate trophy, and they play just north of the border. Yes, we're going to be talking about the Canadian Football League. If you are an agent, what do you need to know? If you are a football fan, why is the CFL a great football option? And if you are anywhere in between, you can just enjoy our talk. Before we jump in, let me remind you to like, subscribe, and share. Give us a five-star review. If you like the bonus episode, make sure you give us a five-star review. Leave us some notes. Share with your friends. As always, joined by my co-host, Neil Stratton of Inside the League. That is at Inside the League on Twitter if you want to go shout at him. I am Roderick David at RightStepADV on Twitter. Leave us comments, notes, tell us what you think, anything you want to hear on future bonus episodes or on our regular Wednesday episodes. Our guest today, who knows the ins and outs of the CFL, J.R. Davies. J.R. has coached, scouted, probably done a little bit of everything for the game that so closely resembles our American game of football. I'll let JR get more into his background, but without further ado, JR, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Neil and Roderick, happy to be here. Happy to help out. Like you said, anything, someone's like an agent or someone's, you know, looking at playing in the CFL, like, you know, like I said, I'm happy to offer information and help out any way I can.
Yeah. Again, as I was in the NFL on the road, again, the CFL, again, guys, there's a lot of them who the NFL is not quite for them, or maybe just not quite yet. The CFL is a great option. Before we dive into that, just tell us a little bit about your background. Obviously you've coached, you've scouted, you've done a little bit of everything. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, so I'm kind of unique. So I live in Texas now, but I grew up in Vancouver, British Columbia, which is right above Seattle, right on the U.S. border. Only part of Canada that plays four down high school football. So I grew up there, ended up playing college a bit in the U.S., transferred back to Simon Fraser University, which is a Division II program in Vancouver, which long story short, my grandfather actually founded it. My grandfather was a coach at University of Oregon and then was a college head coach and then AD. For Simon Fraser. And so anyways, did that. And then coming out of college, ended up playing in the Arena Football League down here in Texas for the Rio Grande Valley Dorados Arena 2. So that was a lot of fun. Ended up just family ended up down here. Wife's down here. She works for the San Antonio Spurs front office. And just over the years, just worked with through CFL kind of people that I know up there and that kind of are always looking to look at sign players down here in the U.S. and that. So having connections up there has definitely been helpful. So kind of getting into scouting and then coached a bit of college. But for the most part, I've been tied with the Calgary Stampeders. I've helped out with last year. I was the running backs coach last year for the Stampeders, but a long time with them, probably going on over 10 years, actually helping out Calgary, either guest coaching or scouting. With Calgary.
That's that is quite a background. I know you and I paths crossed back in probably 2017 or 18. I was with the Falcons as a pro scout. I think you came in for some training camp practices, and I, you know, still remember standing on the sidelines talking about some of those dudes. And again, I'd imagine with your background, all the different places and connections, you've probably done the paperwork. You've obviously recruited. You've done a little bit of everything, which again is really unique insight as we get into all this CFL stuff. For the person sitting out there that maybe they have casually turned on a CFL game, it's different. What are the biggest differences? And again, what makes the game ultimately, it's still football?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, like, I play quarterback, so it's exciting. It's a three down league. So, I mean, you've got to be able to throw the ball. And I think it's an exciting game from that aspect. As far as quarterback development, I think that's, you go back a long ways if you want to, like the Warren Moons and the more current quarterbacks, Nathan Rourke, who's with signed with Jackson. I think he's with New England now. Definitely develops quarterbacks. You got to have a big arm to play up in the CFL. It definitely makes it unique, makes it more exciting. having to throw the ball changes your roster composition. I think we maybe later on might get in to talk a little bit about that, but your roster as a general manager, you kind of change it a little bit just based on the body types and how the game is played. But yeah, it makes a unique 12-man game. You got three downs, got to be able to throw the ball. Receivers are in motion. If you've ever seen it on TV, a lot of receivers that come up to Canada, they love the downhill motion, kind of like arena football implements some of that. But you want to hit, we want those receivers hitting the line at full speed. Really puts the advantage to the offense.
Again, if you love offensive football, which apparently the NFL thinks that everybody only wants good offense, with some of the new rules they're implementing, don't get me started on that. Again, it's a great league. Again, you talk about throwing the ball. Again, some of the numbers that these quarterbacks put up, again, they're fantastic numbers. Again, big time throwing, moving the ball. Again, getting a running start for wide receivers. Yeah, good luck again trying to cover these guys. What's something unique? Again, I obviously hit on those aspects. Developing quarterbacks. Again, you hit on one of my guys who I love, Nathan Rourke. Again, you go back, Joe Theismann, Warren Moon, developing quarterbacks. What's unique about this CFL that maybe agents, players, general fans should know that maybe just gets overlooked, or unless you really pay attention and follow the game, maybe just kind of gets lost in the cracks?
I think like for agents and players, I think because I deal with a lot of agents will contact me or players will contact, how do I get to the CFL? How does this work? I think you got to realize the roster is it's 50-50 as far as Canadian and American players. So the composition of the roster can sometimes have an impact on if you're going to make the CFL. And I think a lot of teams, or sorry, players don't quite understand the logistics and the structure of the league. The CFL has 9 teams. There's 32 NFL teams. So everyone that gets cut from an NFL team doesn't have an automatic opportunity to go to the CFL. The CFL has a luxury of being choosy a little bit with who they pick. So that obviously increases the talent level in the CFL because we don't have to take anybody that is coming up there. But I think as far as the roster goes, there's definitely certain positions they can find more Canadian players, I would say, as they build out their rosters up there in Canada. For example, offensive line. Offensive line, most Canadian teams will start about four Canadian offensive linemen. Usually that left tackle position is so critical. That's an American position. So usually, like if you're like a, you're a great college, you played center at a, maybe it's a D1 school, that's not really a position they're looking for in the CFL, if that makes sense. So and sometimes agents and that will, he was a great, well, their roster spot in Toronto or Montreal or whatever it might be for a Canadian at that spot. They've got to build that roster out half American, half Canadian at certain positions. And that's just how it shakes out. And I think agents, the ones that are in the know understand that. If you're not familiar with the CFL, to answer your question, Roderick, it's, you need to know those things, as far as shopping your you got players you're trying to get signed.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
there's a
CFLB.
CFLPA. Again, these guys have to go through the process, get registered up there, which is really good. Allows them to have the classes, a little bit different than what the NFLPA, but again, same idea. Again, getting those guys through that program. Again, you've touched on a couple of these players already. The success stories. Again, in addition to the quarterbacks that we've talked about, you've got guys like Brandon Brown or Cameron Wake that have come through there. Again, I remember during my pro scouting days, like you said, it was the left tackles. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Xavier Gibson was a left tackle for a long time up there. We bring him in for a workout. I think he signed for maybe a couple weeks. Again, those are the players that NFL teams are looking at that CFL film and going through the process, doing their work on all these guys. Obviously, Cameron Wake developed into a really good player after being undrafted. Brandon Browner, again, big part of that Legion of Boom at a corner that height, weight, speed. He was one of the early ones that really changed his teams who were going to those big, long, maybe you want to say slightly less athletic corners, but again,
Yes.
guys that are really specific scheme fits. Deji Olatoye, who the Falcons signed and was part of our Super Bowl run. Again, another guy that kind of fits that mold. So, a bunch of really good players that have gone through and are doing good things now. Why is the CFL a good option? Again, you talk to your premier position players. Again, I think Chris Odom, a pass rusher, had a chance to make it up there, bounced back and forth. I think he's now maybe in some US leagues, has, had multiple stints with rosters. Again, Nathan Rourke, a guy that goes up there, comes back down here. It's a good option because, teams, NFL's obviously watching films from a developmental standpoint. Again, these guys want to continue playing. It's a good option. What are you telling agents and teams? What are the good reasons to come up there?
Yeah, and so one of the, like you said, the NFL, the CFLPA, so the CFL has a, players association that, and an agreement with the league. So that's a big part of it. And one thing they put in the last agreement, the CFLPA, is what they put in a signing window for the NFL. So every team, every player that goes up there to the CFL, most guys are on a, they're signing them to a 2-year contract. So, if you're sending, as an agent, you're sending your player up there to Canada, you're like, well, he's going to be stuck up there for 2 years. Or how does that work? Can he get back to, the New York Giants are interested in him, or whoever's interested in him? Well, the CFL's implemented a window, NFL signing window now, that runs through at the end of the season from about December to about January to early February. So what happens is, in that window, CFL players have an opportunity to work out for, try out for NFL teams, and lots do. And so in that window, they can now sign with an NFL team and get out of their CFL contract, if they choose to. Now that window closes eventually, like I said, end of January, early February, and then they're locked back into their CFL contract. The CFL and the NFL have an agreement where if you're signed with one league, you can't just exit out of your contract and go to the other league. So that window really helps out agents, though, that are trying to get their players back to the NFL. Give you another name, Reggie Bagleton, who's a great example. He was a wide receiver for the Calgary Stampeders. He started up in Calgary, ended up signing with Green Bay Packers, then ended up back up in Calgary. Is huge in the community. CFL has obviously been around for 100 years, so players are in the community. They're doing appearances. They're doing all sorts of different charity work. And the community loves Reggie up there. So I think and he's actually from Houston, Texas, played at Lamar. It's just kind of exemplifies that he's had that opportunity to go to the NFL, went to the CFL. I think that those opportunities are there for agents that are trying to figure out what the process looks like.
Good. So let's jump into a little bit of the schedule, kind of the nitty-gritty. Obviously, everybody listening kind of generally understands what an NFL scout is doing. Again, we're scouting during the fall, getting our summer list ready, hitting, all-star games, combine. What is the general, schedule for a CFL scout, and kind of how does it work for the CFL teams to identify players that either, hey, we're going to be looking at these guys post-draft, post-cut down. Just talk us a little bit through that.
Yeah, so we're kind of looking at the players that are the CFL ends up, American players get signed are usually those UDFAs, the undrafted free agents that are kind of hanging on to training camp, or that end of camp cut has had some experience there. We're going to be seeing them kind of the next year. So like this spring, in fact, they just had the Big 12 conference today, a Big 12 conference pro day up in Dallas at the Star. And we're the scouts for the CFL. We're looking at those events. We're looking at pro days right now. We're trying to kind of get an idea of who's out there right now. What are their times? What are they posting based on, what we've seen in college? The CFL uses PFF now, just like the NFL. So we have access to all that information, which is awesome. We're looking at, what are the pro days looking at right now? Where are those guys going to be? Yeah, we might find some guy, a player that's just an amazing, athlete, maybe got overlooked. But then what sucks is the CFL, though, then he gets signed to some NFL team, you never see him. So you're trying to find that kind of diamond in the rough that's kind of, been overlooked, and we're looking to sign him and bring him up to camp. Potentially this year, if he's not drafted to the NFL. Last year we had a offensive lineman that was kind of similar situation, didn't really get drafted. We signed him right away, brought him up as a rookie. So that happens. But other situations are, like I said, some of these guys are going to go to Roderick, you know, like an NFL training camp, they bring in so many bodies and that. And so we're going to see those guys in August at training camps. Like before, when I visited Atlanta, I visited Carolina, New Orleans, Houston. But we'll see those guys that are kind of on the edge, and then we'll put them kind of on a rights list as we roll into the fall. And we could sign them in September, or we maybe bring them up the following year. So we're kind of like we're piggybacking off the NFL schedule, I think, to put it in kind of to give you kind of a answer to your question. We're kind of piggybacking off the NFL draft and then kind of trying to figure out where those pieces and parts of players fit in to what we need up in the CFL. And the other thing is, we don't, some CFL teams, we might not need, you know, a wide receiver. We might already have them all signed, you know, and that's the thing that, like I said, it's not guaranteed that you're going to have a position in the CFL. So everyone's got different needs and how they fill up their roster. So, yeah, that's kind of how we, how our schedule rolls.
So that's the schedule. Got a more limited budget at North than you do in the NFL. Can you talk about the what a CFL scouting staff looks like as compared to an NFL staff, and maybe what the coaches' roles, maybe they play more of a role in that? I don't know. I'm just kind of interested in finding out.
Yeah, for sure. So our scouting department is basically we have a general manager who's our structures, our head coaches, our general manager, Dave Dickinson in Calgary. But then we have an assistant GM. Then we have usually what most American scout, we have called them their American scout or their US scout for the CFL team. So we have one, Cole is our Calgary's our US scout. So he manages pretty much anything and everything south of the border. We will some teams will have two US scouts, depends on what their structure is, on how they're set up. And then just so you know too, like the roster is half Canadian, right? So you do have a Canadian aspect to it. So you have a Canadian scout that is probably that job's gotten more difficult, honestly, over the last probably 3 or 4 years, because there's so many Canadians now that are in the NFL draft. The Chase Claypools out there, like the, and those guys are, you're trying to like, you're managing. It used to be kind of you'd scout your Canadian colleges. There's about just under, there's like 27, 28 Canadian colleges up there. You'd be scouting those. But now you've got players that, you know, Chuba Hubbard, Oklahoma State. I mean, there's Canadians now all over the US that I think probably the biggest thing, American colleges are recruiting Canada more now with, you know, now with Huddle and internet, YouTube, you can, it's easier to find them. I think 20 years ago, it was hard to recruit a Canadian out of Toronto or something. It's just so hard to just, you know what's up there. And so there's more of these Canadian players that are going down the States. So now, scouting wise, it's become more difficult, I think, for CFL teams. And then, like I said earlier, with like Claypool, like our Canadian draft, like you don't really want to draft Chase Claypool because you know he's going to be in the NFL for, you know, 6 or 7 years or whatever. He's never going to come up to the CFL, if that makes sense. So you've got to leverage your bets there a little bit as far as, yeah, man, we'd love to have Chuba Hubbard play in Calgary, but the reality is, you know, he's got an NFL career that he's, you know, he's, you know, fortunate to have, and, you know, it's great for him. That's awesome. You know? So yeah, you got to kind of figure out, you know, what fits and who's going to be up there as far as, you know, who's not going to be on an NFL 53-man roster as far as that goes. But yeah, to answer your question, you know, we're very limited. Like I think an NFL team has 7 to 9 scouts. They got area scouts all over the country. CFL, it's limited. You know, they just don't have as many scouts. Like I said, you probably got about two US scouts. You got assistant GM and you got maybe a Canadian scout. That's really it, you know? And so, and the coaches definitely overlap. Some of that makeup lost ground. They got to be able to evaluate players, you know, a bit in the off season and use connections to get as much info as they can and find the best players at the end of the day.
Now, the CFL has a draft like the NFL, and they've got free agency like the NFL. But one thing that the CFL has, the NFL doesn't have, is something called a neg list. Can you talk about what a neg list is and how that operates and how that's populated and all those kind of things?
Yeah, for sure. So that's it's really unique, actually. So the CFL has like a rights negotiations list, 100%. So each team has like 45 spots or so that they can put on their rights list, and it's a protected list that they then have the first rights to sign those players if they put them on the list. Now, the interesting thing, I'm glad you brought that up, so I was going to mention it. The most 90, probably 99% of the players that are on that list will never know they're on that list, if that makes sense. So, like, we might have a receiver with the Miami Dolphins that's, you know, on the list, and, you know, we don't know if he's ever going to get cut from the Dolphins, but, you know, in that one event that he does, you know, we're picking up the phone, calling his agent, and we're going to, you know, have him on, you know, hopefully have him in a uniform north of the border. That's really how it works. As far as that list goes, agents will sometimes ask me, and it gets a little sticky sometimes where a guy will be on one of the lists and he doesn't know he is, but he wants to try and work out for another team. Those things get a little bit tricky. And so usually we just have them contact the CFL league office, and they can kind of sort out what it works. There's some sort of overlap. If you are on a negotiations list, another team can sign you off of it, but then that original team has first rights to actually engage like an active contract. And so if they do, then they can continue to keep you. So there's a little bit of a trickiness to it. But not all of our, if you looked at our American players, they didn't all get signed off of our negotiation list. Some of them did. And some of them, you know, are just guys that we signed that were available. So, but yeah, it is a very unique, glad you brought that up, very unique to the CFL, the rights negotiations list. It's a way of just kind of keeping an eye on players that are down with NFL teams, and maybe they've gone to the XFL or USFL or UFL, and we just need to keep track of them. And we want to be able to sign them back up to Canada when that time comes.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Jerry, you talked about, again, a 50-50 composition. You got 50% of your roster is Canadian citizens. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, Canadian passport would be is usually how it works. Every now and then, like, honestly, speaking to agents, like, if you're an agent and you've got a player that, and it's really random, but, like, you might have a player that grew up in Miami, but his mom was born in Toronto or something like that, right? And that, if he can get his Canadian citizenship, he just, like, increased his signability, like, through the roof, right? So, as a dual U.S. American citizen. So, yeah, if you can get your Canadian citizenship, that makes it huge, obviously, because it's harder to find Canadian players than it is the American players, just because, I mean, there's 27, like I said, 27 Canadian colleges up there. And then you've got, honestly, the biggest thing, like I said, there's such a pull right now for Canadians going to the NFL. I think it's probably higher than it's really. Chase Brown was a running back. The Brown, the twins there at University of Illinois a year ago in last year's draft, both Canadian. I evaluated them in that. And yeah, we're just like, great, they're going to the NFL, but, you know, we'll never see them up in the CFL, right? Obviously, if they have a successful career there.
So. Yeah, it seemed like when I was scouting Eastern Michigan, they did a really good job. City, so again, he's, I think, an offensive lineman for the Patriots still, again, falls into that category where he was Canadian kid, comes to the U.S. and plays his U.S. time there. Are only those, again, passport holders, Canadian citizens, are they the only players eligible for the CFL draft?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, you got to have a Canadian passport. That puts you into the CFL draft 100%. And CFL draft is, it's 8 rounds, I believe it is. So, and those guys then have become, you know, rights to that team. Now, it does, like you said, City, so in that they can get drafted to the CFL draft, but they also already might be signed to an NFL team. So,
right.
Chuba Hubbard, I think, is a good example. Some team did draft him up in Canada, I believe. Not sure who it is. They would have first rights if he ever something happened or whatever, but they would draft him as well. So you kind of get drafted twice, I guess. The Canadian League, CFL, does a good job, though. They hold their draft right after the NFL draft because that's a big thing. CFL GMs are waiting to find out when that NFL draft hits, you know, the players they were looking at, did they get drafted? Did they not get drafted? Are they going to get a UDFA spot or UFA spot? And then if they're not, then that obviously puts their stock up higher going into the CFL draft. We had conversations last year, a couple different players where you're trying to figure out, like, they didn't get drafted. They did get invited to training camp or mini camp. How strong of interest is that NFL team's commitment to them? Because if they're locked in on them, we're wasting our, our CFL draft pick on this dude that we're never going to see because he's going to be in NFL forever. But same time, if they're just giving him a mini camp tryout, like a lot of NFL teams do, then he's going to go that mini camp and then he's done the next day. And then we could, you know, potentially have him up in Calgary. So
that's a whole nother level of draft strategy. Again, like you said, with guys like Nathan Rourke and City So, who are very good players, you would be, oh yeah, CFL, no brainer. That's a high CFL draft pick. But it's like, no, again, we may never see that guy. So do we want to use that draft pick knowing that we're never going to see him again? If you want to add another level of your, you know, GM strategy, again, that would be we need to get CFL 2025 out here on Madden, you know, just like Madden has, and, you know, add that element to let all our at home basement GMs do their thing. So that's fun. So post cutdowns, CFL, you know, you guys are out during NFL training camps. Once the process starts, are teams reaching out to these players to gauge interest? What should agents be doing, again, as they start get through the process? Again, a lot of good agents are going to know come June minicamp time, all right, what is the realistic status of my player on that 90-man roster? Is he going to make it to the third cutdown and be a practice squad guy? What can NFL agents be doing if this is a legitimate option? Priority position, a guy has interest, he's being realistic to do, again, not to wear the CFL out, you know, with a bunch of cold calls, but to make sure they have guys lined up to hopefully help them out.
I think the biggest thing is knowing what you got, like position needs for the CFL. For example, some are non-starters, honestly, like fullbacks, for example, the CFL tight ends and fullbacks really is not really a position in the CFL. If you watch a CFL game, very few teams use a tight end. Really, it's a fullback flex position. So if you've got a American tight end, fullback, you're kind of wasting, not saying you waste your time, but it's a tough fit for you to get him to a CFL team at the end of the day. Probably not going to, kind of similar to offensive line. You know, there's not a lot of spots for American offensive linemen up on CFL rosters. So you've got, if you've got a player in a NFL camp, you're not sure where they're going to be at. You're trying to look at options. You got to make sure they fit. Now, receivers, DBs, running backs, yes, CFL linebackers is looking for those positions 100%. Quarterbacks is another one. Defense linemen, yes. Everything is a little bit different with the game. Like I said, here and there, as far as, I'd say, like I said, more emphasis on speed because it's more of a passing game. I would say linebackers, Robert, you obviously, when you were with the NFL, you had a certain fit for what you wanted in a linebacker, size, speed, and everything. I would say the CFL, if you were to compare linebackers, they need to be more better in pass defense. They need a little more movement. So they're not as much run stoppers, I would say, in the CFL. So we're looking at probably a little bit lighter as far as linebackers go. If you're an agent, you've got and this happens quite a bit, is you got a little bit, a guy that maybe undersized as a defensive lineman. In the CFL, we're looking for more speedier pass rushers that can, you know, get upfield and put pressure on the quarterback because, it's not, like I said, it's not four downs. You know, you're not just, it's not grind. It's such a grind at the NFL where they need those big wider bodies to stuff the run game. So, those, if they fit those, metrics that we're looking at in the CFL, then they should be reaching out, obviously, to the CFL front offices and trying to find out, you know, if there's spots available. Our we'll sign guys all the way up until training camp for the most part for the CFL, trying to figure out if there's going to be anyone out there that, you know, doesn't get swooped up by the NFL draft. And then to go back on my timeline I was talking about earlier, as you get into, as those NFL teams do cut down, all the CFL teams actually expand their practice roster after the NFL cut down. So that entitles CFL teams to bring in extra players in September, October, and see what they have there. So those would definitely be potential opportunities for a player or an agent who's trying to get someone up to the CFL. And that's where they would definitely fit in.
JR, does it depend only on defense because of the rules that kind of favor the passing game, as well as the fact that maybe there's fewer domestic athletes that have the kind of size, speed to what you're looking for to play man schemes?
So like most of our there is 12 men on the field. So It's a little bit different, but most of the concepts like art secondary we run is similar to American, what you find in four down football. I mean, the Tampa twos, you know, the different stuff is definitely, and I honestly, I think if you have a DB coming out of, look at, if you're a DB looking to be in the NFL, maybe you've been overlooked, I would be looking to get into the CFL just based on the speed of the game and how much of your development from a development aspect, you're going to develop definitely in the CFL, having to cover that. The more, I remember one time there was a DB that came up to the CFL and he was a corner, and he just told me, like, he remember he's in the game and he looked across the field and he couldn't, first time he realized how wide the field is, because the field is wider than the American field. So there's more area to cover and space that you've for the offense to operate in. So it really puts more, of a demand on the defensive backs. They have to be good. CFL gets a lot of good DBs up there, and a lot of them get signed and back. They get film and they get back to the NFL. So yeah, a lot of the schemes are similar. Really good way to develop as a DB or a linebacker up in the CFL if you want to go back to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Again, like those priority positions. Again, DBs, I remember as many DB workouts. Again, you know, with the GM I was with for a long time, Thomas Dimitroff, again, a CFL Canadian guy,
yep,
again, has roots up there. So again, it was always a priority, always a list we were on. Again, had to stay on those guys, had to have a good feel for it. Who were some of the special CFL players, whether they ultimately got a chance in the NFL, that, again, you brought up Reggie Begelton, again, a guy that's a good player, good community guy, but what about just some of those really special players who, man, if somebody wants to pull up some YouTube and watch X, Y, and Z play, again, if they want to just kind of get acclimated with CFL, who are some players that that you really remember when you think about the game?
I think probably the biggest one, he's kind of the, I'd say he's kind of the standard probably in the last 30 years in the CFL for quarterbacks. It's a Heisman Trophy when it was Doug Flutie. If you look at Doug Flutie, what he did in the Canadian Football League, I mean, he basically rewrote everything. I mean, it was unbelievable. His time up there was really special, as far as, you know, if you watch footage of him just being a mobile quarterback on a large field, with, you know, such an emphasis on the passing game and receivers all in motion, running all over the place. I think Doug Flutie is probably the great example of that. He played for the Calgary Stampeders. Also ended up playing in Toronto before he went back to Buffalo in the NFL. And so, yeah, Flutie was definitely the standard as far as, and I think he's probably a good example too of a lot of players that just, for some reason, they got overlooked at, for whatever reason, you know, and they ended up in the CFL. I mean, there's so many, COVID's a good example right now too, 2020, like some players didn't have proper pro days. Like they, you know, their pro days got canceled, or it was like a virtual pro day. So they did their pro day on Instagram, or, you know, it's just, there's some guys just get missed, you know, they get missed and they get up to the CFL. And I think Flutie's just a great example of some guy that was kind of overlooked. There's been big, Ricky Williams was up there for a year in Toronto for other reasons, why he ended up in Canada. But yeah, there's been definitely, Johnny Manziel was, and I think a lot, the allure with Manziel, of course, another Heisman Trophy winner, they thought he would kind of fit the mold of Flutie. I think is if he came up to the CFL, he could scramble, he can run, it's a big field, he can throw the ball. Obviously, that didn't work out the way they thought it would. He ended up with, Manziel ended up going to, he was with Hamilton in Montreal, but anyways, but yeah, notable guys. I mean, Flutie, he's definitely the standard. Prior to him would have been Warren Moon a couple years prior to that, as far as what we're looking at for the CFL.
Yeah. Again, Manziel, Ricky Williams may have had some peripheral reasons for being up there, whether they wanted to be or, you know, just wanted to be. Again, who knows? Again, we've talked about some of these spring leagues in the U.S. Again, the XFL, the UFL, the USFL, whatever spring league the NFL is trying to put on. Again, there has been merger discussions. There's been competition discussions. Again, the CFL is established. The CFL has their tradition, has the, you know, background, has a PA, has a good governing board, a lot of really good pieces in place. But again, everybody, well, what is the future of the CFL with the expanding American spring leagues. What are your thoughts on that, and kind of how are you guys approaching that?
Yeah, and I get agents ask me that all the time. You know, they're like, you know, XFL, UFL, CFL. Like, what's CFL? I think it's kind of gotten some way gotten lumped in with those leagues lately, and which is, I think, not necessarily fair, because the CFL has been around for, like I said, they've been playing Canadian football for about 100 years. So it's not going anywhere. It's been there and it's going to continue to be there. So now the spring league, is it the XFL or now it's the UFL or whatever? The success, you know, there's a long list of spring leagues that haven't worked out in the U.S. and that's just the reality of it. So where you're looking to put your player, the CFL offers partially guaranteed contracts now. There's some revenue sharing they've established with their PA. It's a little bit of a different level. So yeah, it's kind of unique, because kind of like CFL kind of gets lumped in with those leagues, but it's not. Average salary in the CFL is about 100,000 is the average. Quarterbacks are making up to about 500,000 a year as a starting quarterback, because that's such obviously a focused position. But yeah, it's been around for a long time. It'll continue to be around. We have PFF now as well. I think that window too of the good relationship between the NFL and the CFL is also is a big plus for that option. And yeah, it's a well-run league, and it's been around for a long time.
Partially guaranteed contracts. You said the average salary is around 100K.
Yes, about 100K.
Quarterbacks are going to maybe a good quarterback's going to make about $500,000. You've got an NFL relationship. Man, it sounds like really good options for agents here. Again, you know, I would love U.S. spring leagues to make it, but until they show that they can over, again, more than about 2 years, and not 2 years with a restructure, 3 years with a restructure. Again, I am all for them. There's really good people, really smart people in the U.S. trying to get these things going. But again, you've got an established 100-year league in the CFL that makes a ton of sense, right?
Yeah, and on top of that, like endorsements as well. There's players in the, like, they're doing, you know, car dealerships or whatever, you know, local community sponsorship agreements are also in place for players that have, you know, agents that can negotiate those as well. So, because like you said, it's such a, the communities have been built up for so long, you know, like the Toronto Argonauts have been around for like 100 years at some form or another. So there is long-term fan base. There's a long-term marketing that's occurred in those markets. So it's an option as far as, some players come up to the CFL. Calgary has a ton that, you know, they came up from wherever they from in the U.S. They played in Calgary, career. They ended up staying in Calgary. They still live in Calgary. They love Calgary. They're still in the community. They come out to, they bring them out to the games. They go and speak at different events in the community in the off season as former players. It's definitely a good gig. You know, definitely a good opportunity.
For those that have never been to Canada, the sun shines, right? There's not snow all the time, maybe a little bit more than, you know, some spots in the U.S. Again, I've heard stories, guys that have been up there, some of the, you know, Canadian cities are fantastic. Again, there's a lot of really good things. And again, maybe somebody just needs to take a trip north of the border to check things out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, communities are great. Fan base. I mean, fans are like, you watch the games, that's 20 to 30,000. I mean, usually most stadiums, that's kind of an average CFL size. CFL size attendance is about 20 to 30,000. I mean, it's a big production for them and that. So, but yeah, big in the communities. They're trying to add a 10th team. To the CFL, the commissioners placed a huge part. Randy Ambrosi, the CFL commissioners placed a huge priority on that right now, adapting to that extra team, get that 10th team in the league. So, it's like been around for a long time, and I think it'll continue to be there.
Yeah, no question. It is it is a fantastic option. I would tend to say the CFL knows the NFL's number one. Again, any player, that's the dream for Canadian players. That's the dream. But again, the CFL is a fantastic option. It's good football. NFL scouts are looking at it. CFL scouts are obviously looking at it. Good fan bases, good cities, good situations.
Yeah.
JR, if if people have questions either for you, maybe for the CFLPA, for, again, maybe teams in general, are there some spots where they can go to, again, email, phone calls? Are you on Twitter? Where can people find out more information?
Yeah, the CFL website, cfl.ca, is a great great opportunity to just get information on that for what you're looking for. Like some of the things I was talking about, they have a kind of a fact sheet on there that they give out for information on what that looks like, length of the season, schedule, contracts. The CFLPA is also cflpa.ca. The Players Association, it would be another website to check out and just find information about it, as if you're an agent or a player looking to head up there. Passport, hit that up there. If you're an American player, you need to get a American passport. You do have to cross the border to play up there, right? So having that passport is going to be required. And usually you can get them done quickly. Every year it happens now and then. We try to get a player into training camp and, you know, he doesn't have his passport, or he's waiting on his passport, or whatever that may be. So having that passport ready to go is going to be a big biggie right there. So, but what CFLPA website, cfl.ca, those are where you're going to find those that information. And then team information will be on there as well.
Awesome. Well, this has been a fantastic conversation. I've sat here again. I thought I knew a good bit about the CFL, and, you know, I tend to, you know, I think I learned probably as much as anybody out there listening. Neil kept shaking his head, so I think he learned something, and otherwise he would just be really polite. Who knows with Neil? He's a polite guy. So it's been fantastic, though. I really appreciate you being on, JR, and I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, the chance we get to cross paths again.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Anything I can do to help out.
Yep.
Best of luck this season as well, JR.
Thanks, Neil. Awesome.
Yep. Awesome. Well, hope you enjoyed the episode. Again, make sure you like, subscribe, share it. Again, go to YouTube, pull up some Doug Flutie highlights, Warren Moon, again, whoever it is, Bo Levi Mitchell more recently, watch some highlights. It's a different game, but it's a fun game, and you'll find it's fairly similar. And again, north of the border, south of the border, put on some football. It's all football, so keep on scouting.